If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. This is the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We got TNT socks? I didn't know that. I got to head over to that gift shop. Gonna get me some TNT socks, and I'm going to send them to Colin Kaepernick, and maybe he could wear those instead of the, cops or pig socks that he famously wore during a practice. Welcome aboard, everybody. I'm Steve Malzberg on the East Coast of the United States of America, and you know what time it is wherever you are. It's evening here, and I am very happy to say that right off the top of the show, we are joined by, boy, would I love to see this guy become governor of the state of California. California State Senator Brian Dahle is with us. And Senator, welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Boy, I mean, it's an uphill battle. I think the and not that I'm a fan of the mainstream media or put any stock in anything that they say. LA Times did a piece today talking about, how you're still need to get your name out there. And meanwhile, Gavin Newsom is basically fitting the curtains for the White House because he wants to be president. Is there still a realistic shot that you could beat him? I mean, to me, see, I'm of the mind. I don't know how anybody in their right mind could vote for Gavin Newsom. I don't know how anybody in their right mind could vote for any Democrat with the state of the country. But let's focus on the state of California. No pun or double entendre intended there. It's horrific in so many ways, and it's only getting worse, and people and businesses are leaving. Yet, Gavin Newsom, by all accounts, people might think he has it wrapped up. Why?
Well, there's no doubt that California is a blue state, and Californians are suffering because of one party control in California. I'm driving all over the state campaigning. And, we have the highest taxes and the highest poverty rate in the nation. We have homelessness running wild. We have spent $20 billion on homelessness, $75,000 per homeless person. And we actually increased homelessness by 22,000 last year. So no movement there. We have schools that are 77% of our kids can't read at grade level. We have EDD. We had $32 billion taken from the EDD during COVID for fraud. I asked Californians just one thing. Tell me one thing that Gavin Newsom has fixed since he's been in office. We have a drought. We have an energy shortage. We have gas $2 a gallon higher. So, Californians are moving in the right direction. We had a poll out the other day where we've gained about 4 points in the poll, but we're still behind according to the polls. But the people I'm talking to in California know that 4 more years of Gavin Newsom is going to be really hard on their families. Inflation is killing us here, and that's what we're hearing. So I believe in the real poll, which is November 8th. We are gaining traction. You can go to briandahle.com, BRIANDAHLE, and learn more about me and find out that I've actually been in the legislature for 10 years. Battling, working across the aisle to get things done, and California is just on the wrong track.
And contribute, I would imagine, would be an option too on that website that you gave. I think that your opponent has raised over $23 million, and I know you've done a great job through a family-run campaign, basically, in reaching to the $2 million mark. But it's hard. I mean, obviously, money talks in political campaigns, and it's got to be frustrating, and it's got to be difficult. And you mentioned, Newsom, but when people see that he doesn't even have intentions, if he were to win a second term, of finishing that second term, according to many, many reports, and his actions speak louder than words. And you could see some of his actions looking for that national attention and seeing himself as a possible front runner for the Democratic presidential nomination in 2024. So, does that enter into it at all when you campaign? Do you talk about a guy who's more interested in getting his picture taken and becoming president than working for the people of California?
Oh, absolutely. Make no mistake. Gavin Newsom's running for president. If you don't believe that, you haven't been watching the news lately. But, Gavin Newsom left San Francisco in shambles. Nobody goes to San Francisco anymore. It's an unsafe place. Crime's been up 40%. Murder's been up 40% in California in the last 2 years. So yeah, Gavin Newsom is running for president, and I've reached out and said to, you know, America, you've got Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris, and can you imagine what it'd be like to have Gavin Newsom? He's definitely running for president. He thinks he has this state in the bag, but I will tell you, if you come alongside me in my campaign, we can knock him out right here. The recall was very convoluted, different story for the recall. 2.5 million Republicans didn't show up. We're getting out the vote. We have a good shot at Gavin Newsom. And he is he's an elitist Democrat. He's even out of touch with Democrats. I cannot tell you how many Democrats, independents, no party preference are coming to our rallies and talking to us about, hey, I've never voted Democrat in my life, and we're looking for something different. We're going to vote for you, Brian. So I believe we have a shot. Follow me on social media. Get out the message and, vote. Californians need to vote for sure.
We're talking to California State Senator Brian Dalley here on the Steve Malzberg Show. He's the Republican gubernatorial nominee in the state of California. And you have a debate coming up. I believe it's on October 23rd. Only debate? And I mean, that's a huge opportunity for you to stand next to him and make your case. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, absolutely looking forward to the debate. Unfortunately, it's on a Sunday at 6, the 23rd, while most people will probably be watching football. But that's because Gavin Newsom doesn't want to talk about the failures he has here in California. He doesn't want people to watch it. We basically boxed him in to get in. It's on radio. It will be streamed, I believe. But it's not a national debate like we've seen, even for L.A. city council races, where we've seen, high-profile debates. So Gavin Newsom doesn't want to talk about his record here in California because he's a total failure. And he wants to talk about, other presidents. He wants to talk about other governors. But he doesn't talk a lot about what's happening here in California, other than he's going to give a lot of money to Californians, $11 billion of their tax money back because gas prices are high, because he created a high gas price. So he's a failure. We're looking forward to the debate, and we're going to take it to him.
There's been a lot of talk lately about the failure of the that proposed high speed railroad. Fill the people in on what that dream was and what the nightmare is that it's become.
Well, first off, you should know that it's was supposed to be completed in 2020, and it was supposed to cost the taxpayers of California $10 billion. There's not one foot of track laid. I've been in the legislature for 10 years. There's been three new administrators. Every 3 years, they fire the administrator and say the last guy was the problem. But it's a total boondoggle. It's $4.5 billion this year. Annually, it gets about $4.5 billion of our, and that's why our gas prices are high. Our gas tax is paying for that. And so that's why Californians, we pay about $1.56 a gallon in taxes. That's federal. That's all in taxes. But 54 cents of that is a highway tax here in California, 20 cents a gallon. Goes to the bullet train to nowhere. It's expected to cost $105 billion, and we don't know when the completion date is. And, it's supposed to save the environment, but it may be not even electrified was the last analysis. It's crazy that Californians put up this. It's time for change here in California. Come alongside me, and we can make that change.
Let me ask you a couple more. What is the predominant issue on the minds? I mean, is it in alliance with the national polls, inflation, economy, crime? When I think of California, I just think of crime, because I'm always seeing the homeless and the crime and the drug stations where people could shoot up with the needles and people trying to step through, even school kids trying to step through that and the homeless camps, and you look at it and you say, what country is this? How is this happening? But I'm a New Yorker, and it's happening to a lesser extent in New York as well. Well, crime is maybe even worse, but the drug needles and the people on the streets and the whole thing. Every major city run by a Democrat and every Democrat run state is in a disastrous, you know, state itself. So again, it brings me back to my original point. I just don't see how people looking at their kids, looking at their grandkids, looking at their own futures could say, yeah, Newsom's my guy. I just don't get it. Or any Democrat. I just don't understand.
Well, you have to realize that we pay inflation is the top of people's mind. We pay $2.50 a gallon higher than Reno, Nevada, which is right across the border. So Californians can look in Arizona and Nevada and realize that we're paying fuel right now is $7 a gallon here in California and higher. And so when you take that equation in, I have a trucking business. It's in the last 8 months, it's $200 a day per truck for diesel. So that's $1,000 a week. That's $4,000 a month. Everything we move goes up. So a loaf of bread, a gallon of milk, everything you need in California is skyrocketing. If you're on a fixed income or an hourly wage earner, you're getting pummeled by Gavin Newsom's policies. We put forth dropping those taxes. Instant savings for Californians, and the Democrats blocked it. But they're going to give them a $200 check to those low-income people right? The checks are going out today with the ballots. And amazingly, that's how California works. And he's trying to buy votes. But at the end of the day, people are definitely concerned about inflation, crime, our education system. 50,000 students didn't show up for the first day of school in LA Unified School District because it's so poorly ran. Parents are walking away. People are leaving California. I'm not leaving. My family's farmed here for 92 years. I'm in for the fight, and I'm here to stay. And we just have to take our state back. And I'm with you. I can't imagine anybody voting for him, but this is California, and there's a lot of special interests that like things the way they are.
Last question. I think people should go to your website, but tell them a little bit. You talk about your family run business. You know, I mentioned that you're obviously a state senator from the first representing the first district. Talk about your background and you know where you come from and why you decided to take this step and go for the governorship while you're already serving in the Senate.
Well, my family's been here for 92 years. My grandfather got a homestead. He was a World War I veteran. So we have deep roots. And I don't want to leave California, Steve. It's a wonderful, awesome place. And, Californians are just, it's run by people who are out of touch with reality. And so I'm a Republican. I've been in the Senate for 10 years. My wife's an assembly member. I was elected to the Board of Supervisors for 16 years before that. I have all kinds of experience. I just have to get my name out there. It's California's special interest, takes resources. Gavin Newsom is owned by the Teachers Association, by all the public unions, and this big business that the dot-comers of the world that are making big profits off of the decisions that he makes. So it's insider stuff, but you know, every day Californians are hurting. They're going to vote for me, and I think we have a shot. Go to briandalley.com. Come alongside me. If you don't want Gavin Newsom for your president, hey, you can help me beat him right now.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that's going to be something, because I don't believe Biden's finishing out his term. I think he's going to, with 1 or 2 years left, say, you know, that's enough. And I think he let that slip when the other day at a event for the Jewish New Year, he said not only Kamala Harris won't be the only female vice president. And by the way, she won't be the only female president either. So I think he knows, you know, he lets things slip. And that's going to be an interesting primary if she is an incumbent president, somebody running against her and the other and Buttigieg and the whole thing. Let them infight and knock each other out, of course, figuratively speaking, of course, and see and benefit the Republic. What do you think of DeSantis as governor of Florida? And do you think that he would be a good president, whether or not Trump runs?
Well, you know, look, I'll let all the Republicans and Democrats fight it out for the national stuff. I'm focused on California. The federal government has not been the issue for my business and my constituents. I'm getting destroyed by the policies that come out of Sacramento and this governor. That's what I'm focused on right now. Gotcha. We got a long time before we have a presidential campaign, and we'll figure that out when that comes later on.
All right. Give the website again, Brian.
Brian Dalley, BRIANDAHLE.com.
All right. Listen, good luck to you, sir. And I hope to speak to you after the election in that week and to call you governor elect of the state of California.
Absolutely. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Brian Dowley, ladies and gentlemen, state senator from the state of California. I almost called it the great state of California. You know, I do that with every state. I shouldn't, and I won't for California, notwithstanding Brian's desire to remain there. And I admire him for that, certainly. It's very easy to leave, some easier for some than for others. But what a mess. What a mess that state is. But he's up against it because, as he said, it's a solidly blue state. And that's why, you know, that's why you have these radical left wingers who want to get rid of the Electoral College so that states like California and New York and the big, you know, heavily populated blue states, every one of their votes would count. And then, you know, you have the little red states along the way. And of course, it would almost guarantee a Democrat victory every time. But as long as we have enough Republicans in the Senate, that won't happen. So that's why it's always so important to have control of that Senate. OK, and certainly not to have less than 40 votes if you could stick together. All right. We have a lot to get to, as we always do. And we will do that. By the way, I just booked Andy Ngo. The great Andy Ngo will join us next Tuesday. So circle that on your calendar. I mean, all my guests are great. Tomorrow we have the former consul general to New York from the state of Israel. Ambassador Ido Aharoni will join us. And then I'm going to be off Thursday, Friday, and Monday. And then when I come back on Tuesday, it'll be Andy Ngo. And boy, go to Andy on Twitter, okay? And see what he posts. He posts what nobody else posts about the crime, videos of the criminals on the streets of our cities, Antifa and other left-wing groups destroying property and buildings and doing things. I mean, this is unreported. The DOJ has no interest in it. They get away with it. But Andy Ngo's out there and has even gotten beaten up for his efforts. Great, great journalist and unafraid. And I'm thrilled to have him. I've talked to him several times in the past. He just confirmed tonight. Okay, so that's it. We're coming back. Don't go anywhere. I'm Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
You should hear what O'Meara and Borgeson are talking about.
You know, actually, I think this is a pretty interesting case because it isn't about whether or not ivermectin works for the treatment of COVID, but rather whether the FDA has the right to interfere with a physician's ability to treat their patients. Basically, what these doctors in this suit are saying is that while ivermectin has not been approved for treatment of COVID, it is an FDA-approved drug for more than 40 years, and off-label prescribing is and always has been allowed by the FDA for approved drugs. We know that well, you and I, based on the number of antidepressants that are not approved for children, yet are prescribed off-label to millions of kids every day. Given your extensive knowledge of the FDA regulations, what's your take on these physicians being successful in this suit?
It is ordinarily the case that an FDA-approved drug can be used by a physician for whatever treatment the physician believes appropriate. When the government is giving conflicting messages, as the FDA did here, in the first instance, it made ivermectin available. Then, when, and probably in large measure to placate the large pharmaceutical companies who are pushing the vaccines, the agency then began to backtrack and say, no, ivermectin may not be good. No, ivermectin may not be the best way to treat COVID. No, ivermectin is not effective in the treatment of COVID. They even made public statements to that effect, all of which proved to be false.
O'Meara and Borgeson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not necessarily true. By 6 months, they're combining vowels and consonants. By 9 months, they're trying out different kinds of sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on some meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. early screening and intervention can make a lifetime of difference and unlock a world of possibilities. Take the first step at AutismSpeaks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, you might say I have a bone to pick, whatever that means. I know how it's used. Never figured out exactly why it's used that way, but I do have one to pick with Candace Owens. Any of you know Candace Owens? She is a black conservative. She has her own podcast called The Daily Wire, I believe. She's on Tucker Carlson all the time. She's out there. She's outspoken. Of course, the left hates her, despises her because she's a conservative black. So, you know, they'll tell you she's, you know, not really black. She's this, she's that, just like, you know, Uncle Clarence and Uncle Tim Scott. And, you know how racist they are on the left. OK, so she's a black conservative, a proud black conservative. Recently, she was at an event with Kanye West. I refuse to call him yay or ye or whatever the heck he calls himself. To me, he's Kanye West. You want a gimmick? Go somewhere else. So they worked. They showed up at this event, and they both had on the back of their jackets "White Lives Matter," and the left went up, and you should have seen the left go. Oh, Kanye's nuts. Kanye's crazy. Lock him up. He's insane. All right. Good. Good for them wearing White Lives Matter. You know what? Asian lives matter. White lives matter. Black lives matter. All lives matter. All lives matter. So I admired them for wearing that. Now, Kanye West, who's been, you know, some people believe he's been a little unstable in his actions, shall we say. So he gets suspended on social media because he suggested that the rapper Diddy. Now, didn't Diddy used to be P. Diddy? Or I don't know. You could tell me if I'm right or not. Anyway, he suggested that Diddy is controlled by Jewish people. Oh, my God. Yes, the Jews have little walkie-talkies and they have little bugs implanted in his ears and they tell him what to do and they control him. Didn't you know that? So Kanye West goes on Twitter and he tweets this, quote, "I'm a bit sleepy tonight, but when I wake up, I'm going to DEATH CON 3 on Jewish people," all caps. Gotta love it. "The funny thing is," he said, "I actually can't be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jew also. You guys have toyed with me and tried to blackball anyone, whoever opposes your agenda." So then Twitter on Sunday announced that they locked West's account. And then Candace Owens goes on her episode of her podcast, The Daily Wire. I believe it was on Monday. And she defends Kanye West in one of the most ignorant, seemingly unprepared. I hope she was unprepared, but she had all day to prepare for it. Ignorant, unprepared, clownish, disgusting defenses of anti-Semitism I've ever seen as a Jew. And I've seen a lot, believe me. But she wasn't even cogent, in my view. She made analogies that an idiot, that an anti-Semite themselves might make. I'm not saying she's an anti-Semite. I'm saying she made arguments that an anti-Semite themselves might make. It was awful. Awful in her attempt to defend her new friend. I don't know if it's a new friend, but, you know, they were in that picture together. So I guess she figured she better stick up for him at the expense of coming off as a defender of anti-Semitism, big time. Shocked me. I was shocked. I don't know everything about her. I don't know a whole lot about her other what, you know, than what I've seen and heard from her. Very disappointing, very troubling, very troubling. So let's get to it right now. This is her starting out her little rant. And, you know, she referred to the tweet, and this is cut 070.
People subsequently demanded that the tweet be taken down for anti-Semitism. Now, if you are an honest person, you did not think this tweet was anti-Semitic. You did not think that he wrote this tweet because he hates or wants to genocide Jewish people. This does not represent the beginning of the Holocaust. That's if you're an honest person, you'll meet that. You will admit that, right?
If you're an honest person, you'll admit that it's not anti-Semitic. So if I by me saying it's that the tweet was anti-Semitic, which it obviously was, I'm a dishonest person. I can't have an opinion whether you agree or disagree. It makes me dishonest. That's stupid and ignorant in and of itself, because people interpret things different ways. And there's certainly enough room here to say that what he tweeted out was anti-Semitic in oh so many ways. So first of all, if you're a good person, no, I'll stick to what you said. If you're honest, you say this was not anti-Semitic. Then I'm dishonest. Count me as dishonest. And he wasn't calling for a Holocaust. So that means it's not anti-Semitic. DEFCON 3, whatever the heck that is, it wasn't only that. Nobody said he's calling for a Holocaust. Who said he's calling for a Holocaust? Did he say he wants to kill 6 million Jews or every Jew in America? No, it's still anti-Semitic based on what he did say. So just the first few seconds here, it's like a little kid, a teenager wrote this in defense of her best friend. You know, it's school. It's pathetic. It was shocking in its ignorance and its lack of gravitas. The arguments are weak and non-existent in meaning. So here we go to cut 071.
If you're an honest person, when you read this tweet, you had no idea what the hell he was talking about. I had no idea when I read this tweet what the hell he was talking about. This tweet inspired questions, not answers. First and foremost, what is DEFCON 3? Did he mean DEFCON 3, which would be a military defense position, not an offense for those of you that are offended, a military defense position?
Oh, see, Kanye is a military expert. I see. See, when he said, and where is it? Wait, I'm going to DEFCON 3, DEATH, DEFCON 3. He's going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. If he was referring to a military tactic, it's defensive. So he's going to defend himself against Jews. He's not going on the attack. So that's good. Huh? Why, Jews are attacking him? And she uses this again to say, if you're honest, it's not anti-Semitic. And here's why. Because it's a defensive military posture. What the hell? Really? Really? I mean, Candace, my God, what are you doing to yourself? You ought to be ashamed. You ought to be embarrassed. And by the way, he says in here, he knows what people are going to say about him. He says, the funny thing is, I actually can't be anti-Semitic. Right after he says, I'm going to wake up and going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. Then he says, the funny thing is, I actually can't be anti-Semitic. Because he says he's Jewish, because black people are Jew. Well, guess what? There are anti-Semitic Jews. You idiot. I'm talking to Kanye now, that idiot. All right, so let's continue with this really sad exhibition by Candace Owens on her podcast here, The Daily Wire. And this is 072.
Is he tweeting this because he's reading the Newsweek headline calling him an anti-Semitic? Is he angry because he can't believe that he's not free to talk about people in his life who happen to be Jewish, right? without being accused of anti-Semitism? Is he saying, I'm not going to shut up and I'm going to keep tweeting and I'm going to keep calling these people out, referring to his friends that he feels slighted by? Is he talking about Jared Kushner and Josh Kushner?
Okay, because he had said that Kushner took advantage of his role in the Middle East and cut a business deal or whatever. Again, that's not how you do it. That's not. See, the fact that Candace Owens can't figure out what her buddy was trying to say, and the fact that her buddy anticipated he'd be called an anti-Semite for what he was saying, you know, case closed. Case closed. All right, now, and I apologize for stopping the cuts, but I wanted to go in order. My fault. I called for the wrong cuts. So here we go. She's continuing this pathetic diatribe defending Kanye's tweet. Here's 073.
If you're a liar, you'll say, I know I was scared, Candace. I actually thought that Kanye West was going to launch a military strike in Israel, because that's the reaction. Like, when I woke up and I looked at the headlines, the reaction was like Kanye West had gotten together a military strike and it was going to go forward in the morning time in Israel. That was the reaction that was met with this tweet.
Again, what is she talking about? Really, seriously. I always thought of her as a you know, an intellect of kind of, you know, smart woman, certainly. So people reacted like he was going to militarily attack Israel. What is she talking? And you know what? I hate to say it. I really hate to say it. But when she talks like that, you know, when I woke up, the reaction was, well, you would have thought he was going to attack Israel. He didn't mention Israel. He mentioned Jews. You want to consider them the same, one and the same, Candace? Then you've got a problem. I don't see Israel mentioned in his tweet. All right. Again, it's a defensive posture. Whatever the heck he said he was going to do with DEFCON 3. Remember, it's defensive. He was going to defend himself militarily against Jews. He wasn't going to launch a Holocaust or attack Israel. What? What is she, a 5-year-old? Really? Think about it. What is she saying? Who is this? If you didn't know this was Candace Owens, you'd say, why are you even playing this? This is some, like, you know, person in their basement showing their ignorance, defending an anti-Semite and doing a poor job, but revealing herself in so many ways. Now, here's the final one. 074.
Now, once again, I want to make this very clear. This is not a defensive tweet. This is an open question, which never seems to happen anymore. It's like, you cannot even say the word Jewish without people getting upset, in the same way that you're not allowed to say black anymore. In the same way that if you talk about the struggles of black Americans and you talk about the people in black America, like Patrice Cullors, the founder of Black Lives Matter, who are harnessing emotions to enrich their pockets.
All right. I don't even have anything to say about that. You can't say all of a sudden Jews are a protected class. Does she know what's going on in the streets of New York City? The videos of Jews being attacked, Hasidic Jews dressed as, you know, as obviously as religious Jews going to services or walking the streets, being attacked in broad daylight or early in the morning or late at night, or it's all over the place. Does she know that the hate crimes in this country year after year, the highest percentage of hate crimes are done against Jews? So I don't even know what she's talking about with that last one. You can't say Jewish. You can't talk about Jewish people anymore. Really? No. What you can't say, or you shouldn't say, is when I wake up, I'm going to DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. You know, I mean, that's not just talking about people. If you woke up and said, I'm going to DEFCON 3 on black people, would she say, oh, you can't even talk about, you can't mention black people anymore, which she did say. But I mean, in reference to a tweet like that, of course not. It's insane. He's implying violence. Cut the crap about defensive posture. Nobody's talking militarily. And then he goes on and continues against Jewish people in his tweet. And he can't be an anti-Semite, he says defensively. By the way, that too is defensively, right, Candace? He can't be an anti-Semite, he says defensively, knowing people will interpret what he said as anti-Semitic because it was anti-Semitic. Because I'm black. And black or Jew. Okay, black or Jew. So you're Jewish, and let's say you were, you could still be an anti-Semite. Fool. Anti-Semite. But I got to tell you, I am shocked. I will extend an invitation to Candace Owens to come on this show. I don't even know how to reach her at this point, to be honest with you. That's not why I'm doing this. I'm sure she's not listening to this show. I'm sure she doesn't know who I am. And I don't care if she never responds once I do find out how to reach her. I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it because she needs to be called out because her comments were reprehensible and anti-Semitic, and treating this anti-Semitic tweet, which garnered so much attention, as her little toy, her little toy that she could play with. And you know what? She revealed herself as not all that smart, not all that bright. That's all I got to say. You want to respond to me? Go to my Twitter at Steve M Talk. Go to my Facebook at, you know, Steve M Talk, Instagram, Steve M Talk. I'd love to get reaction to all that. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we got more goodies for you. Can't wait. I'm rubbing my hands. You can't see it, but I'm doing it. Steve Malzberg. This is TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Australia is off to the coolest start for much of the country since 2016 to this month of October. Coincidentally, maybe not coincidentally, much of the southern and eastern part of the United States is off to a very cool start. And both areas are going to be quite a bit below normal over the next 6 to 10 days, especially in the eastern U.S., where there's actually going to be snow flurries getting into the lee of the Great Lakes. It's only October, for goodness sakes. We talk about hands across the water in reference to Europe, but a lot of times, believe it or not, there's hands across the water as far as the weather pattern in Australia and the United States. And we're going to see an example of that coming up, because the end of the month in Australia and in the eastern part of the United States, now both of them have been very cold, are going to wind up warmer than normal. At least, that's what I think is going to happen. Isn't that fascinating? This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, indeed. All right. We're back. We got more goodies. The View. The View. What else needs to be said? Okay, so yesterday we played you the remarks by Tommy Tuberville, the Republican senator from Alabama. He was at the Trump rally, and he talked about how Democrats don't just defend crime. They want crime because they want to destroy you. They want the people who get what they get from crime to keep it. It's reparations. And then we played you the Chicago organizer from Black Lives Matter from August of 2020 saying exactly that. If you rob a Gucci or this store or that store, hey, that means these people could get, keep it, and they live and don't worry about the stores. They get their money back through insurance. This is reparation, she said. And by the way, I've heard nobody else refer to that. And this story keeps going on and on and on. I've heard nobody else pull out the bite that we pulled out yesterday. So kudos to us. Yeah, kudos to us, baby. All right. So they're talking about this, of course, on The View. And I think we're starting here with Sunny Hostin. Of course, that's not her real name. And she accused Nikki Haley of hiding her ethnicity, or attempting to, by using the name Nikki, which was her birth name. Sunny is not her birth name. yet she uses that. Please, the hypocrisy. You can't. You can't even. It'll blow. It'll just blow your mind. You can't even go through it all. So anyway, so here's Sunny Hostin. This is via newsbusters.org. And they're talking about what Tuberville said. Here is cut 075.
And I think when you talk about reparations, it's such a hot button issue. The minute you start talking about reparations, people call you a racist. And I've always said, you know, please, people need to start just looking up what the definition of racism is. It's really a power dynamic. It's not just about the color of your skin. And I think when you talk about those who committed crimes that owe reparations, those are the people that committed the atrocities of slavery, who stole land, who killed indigenous people. Today is Indigenous People's Day. Yeah, those reparations are still owed.
Okay. Notice how she referred to the changed definition of racism. Basically, that you have to have power. And if you don't have power, you can't be racist. Al Sharpton was the first one I ever heard say that probably 10, 15 years ago. Blacks can't be racist because they don't have power. So only people in power could be racist. You ever hear something so incredibly insane? But, you know, vaccination doesn't mean now that it's going to prevent you from getting the disease. And there's a million up. Recession doesn't mean two consecutive quarters of negative growth anymore. You just change the definition when it's convenient for you. So that's what they did. And I'm a little ticked off here because I have a story here. Ah, okay. I think I got through it. Yes, I got through it. Okay. So we'll get to reparations in a second. Here's the next cut, 076.
And so to sort of try to subvert the conversation and bastardize the conversation and call people racist because you call out racism is something that I get to experience every single day on social media. Thank you very much. I am somehow a race baiter and a racist because I call it like I see it. And I think it's being used as a political wedge issue. Now, everything is racist. Everything is racist, well, especially if you call it out.
Okay. Poor Sunny Hostin on social media. By the way, years ago, Sunny Hostin banned me from her Twitter account. Banned me. If it wasn't Sunny Hostin, it was someone in her who had access to her account. So poor Sunny Hostin, you know, say something about her and she'll ban you. Oh, thank you very much. She says, oh, well, our heart bleeds for you, Sunny, bleeds for you. Okay. Now, Whoopi, she's either part of the dynamic duo of dumbness with Joy Behar or the troika. What did we say it was? The troika of true dumbness, along with Sunny and Joy and Whoopi. I don't know if we're gonna make it two or expand it to three. Nonetheless, here she is. Putting in her two cents on the whole issue. This is 077.
And let us not forget that America has paid reparations before to folks for wrongdoing. Okay? So that's what the reparations are about, is recognizing when you've overstepped. Okay? That's what that's about. So when you want to throw one group, remember, if we're going to throw stuff around, everybody's got a lot to answer for. The whole idea is to recognize there's an issue and deal with it, which y'all continue not to do, which is why the problem remains.
So the problem remains because Whoopi didn't get reparations. When she says the country's done it before, yes, the country has done it before. Now, I had a New York Times article up. Ready to go, and for some reason it has now decided to you know, say, since I'm not paying for it, I can't read the whole thing. The United States did give reparations to Japanese Americans who were interned during World War II prison camps here in the United States. They were the people interned, okay? They were the people who were put in those camps. They gave reparations to survivors of the Tuskegee Airmen and some other medical experiment. So people who were victims of it, the actual people. They did give money to a tribe or two, a Native American tribes. and it came out to much less than $1,000 a person in the tribes. That's what they wound up getting. It was poorly done. So that's the only example really I could find of where reparations were given, and it wasn't for the, although these people might have been displaced too, but it was for the, you know, the displacement of these people from the land. So some of them were actually victims. So when Whoopi says it's been done before and implies that only blacks aren't getting reparations, if there were slaves that were still alive, you know, that's a different story. But you're telling me Whoopi deserves money? Is that what you're telling me? You're telling me blacks that are alive today deserve reparations? That's going to be a hard sell across America. I'll tell you that right now. Now, Kamala, when she's president, might decide to sign some executive order, but it'll be deemed unconstitutional, I'm sure. So, you know, again, the ignorance just overwhelms you. It really does. It really does. She makes it sound, oh, yeah, the country's done it before. Yeah, to people who were directly affected. Not five, you know, two, I don't know, three, four, five, six generations later. Doesn't work that way. Hasn't worked that way. You might want to add that as fact. Listen to this one, folks. This will be 078. Nicole Wallace on MSNBC via Mediaite.com. She wants Obama to appoint a democracy commission. Obama, Barack Obama. What does she know that she's not saying? Does she know or believe, like I do, that Obama's running the show, that he is actually the president? As he said on an interview that he did with an earpiece, you know, him in the basement with the guy in the Oval Office with an earpiece. Does she know that? And she let this slip? Otherwise, why would she say this? Cut 078.
We might not call it Election Day. We might call it Election Week, because what we are watching, and because it's so slow, we don't cover it as a five-alarm fire, but it is. We are watching Republicans not just destroying democracy in the dark, breaking into election officers and plugging stuff in. We're watching them do it from rally stages, debate stages. That's where they're doing it. And I guess the reason I asked you if we'd been here before is, do you think it requires, you know, a democracy commission? Should President Obama ask Chris Christie and Ben Ginsburg to sort of man a democracy hotline the way, you know, people used to man other crises? I mean, what should we do?
She said President Obama. She didn't say former President Obama. That is so bizarre, so weird, isn't it? Should President Obama appoint a democracy commission? Chris Christie? I told you he was a rhino. That's who she thinks of, Chris Christie. And the other name she gave was, Ginsburg is an attorney, an election attorney who's represented many Republicans, but he's kind of wishy-washy himself. President Obama. You mean from the basement, Nicole? And don't forget, Nicole worked in the George W. Bush administration. She is she just has a terrible case of Trump derangement syndrome, which is basically spread to every part of her being. Ay, ay, ay. Listen to Tucker Carlson with this, okay? This is a question from a press conference to Nancy Pelosi on violence and why the left doesn't denounce it when it happens. And then Tucker comes back. You want to be entertained? Well, hopefully you've been entertained. But sit back. 079.
The only clip we could find was Nancy Pelosi, where she endorses violence against her political enemies. Here she is.
There has been a number of attacks on churches, on crisis pregnancy centers. Republicans are going after Democrats for not saying anything, and they're saying that your rhetoric is contributing to these attacks on these crisis pregnancy centers.
Well, let me just say this. A woman has a right to choose, to live up to her responsibility. It's up to her, her doctor, her family, her husband, her significant other, and her God. I'm a very Catholic person, and I believe in every woman's right to make her own decisions.
First of all, you're not a Catholic. I mean, this is ridiculous. Let's stop pretending. Second, you don't believe at all in the right to choose. You applauded as nurses got fired because they didn't want to take the mandatory vax because they didn't want to hurt their own fertility. They wanted to have children maybe someday. And you thought that was great. So it wasn't their body, their choice. You're a liar and a fraud. You're not a Christian. Be quiet.
I love it. I love it. Who says I'm very, very Catholic? Who says that? And you know, in defense of I'm not Catholic, but in defense of something that goes against the, you know, Catholic doctrine. I'm for, you know, killing that baby in the womb. But hey, I'm very, very Catholic. You know, it's like, oh, please, who are you fooling? Really, who are you fooling? All right. So on CBS, this is from Real Clear Politics, Face the Nation, this past weekend, Major Garrett is hosting the show. And you got Katie Hobbs, Democratic gubernatorial candidate and from Arizona. And listen to the question. And is this the question? Let's see. Yeah, I believe so. Here's cut 080.
On the question of abortion, your opponent described you as something of an extremist. Those are her words, not ours. Do you support the current 15-week ban in Arizona, or would you seek a different approach? And is there a week limit different than 15 weeks you are in favor of? And if so, why?
I don't support the 15-week ban, but let me just say that Carrie Lake is entirely misconstruing my position on this issue. You and I both know that late-term abortion is extremely rare, and if it's being talked about, it's because something has gone incredibly wrong in a pregnancy. A doctor's not going to perform an abortion late in a pregnancy just because somebody decided they want one. That is ridiculous.
Bull. Bull crap. Answer the question. That is bull crap. Here's the follow-up coming in 081.
What would the Hobbs administration's week limit be for abortion access? If it's not 15 weeks, what is it?
Look, abortion is a very personal decision that belongs between a woman and her doctor. The government and politicians don't belong in that decision. We need to let doctors perform the care that they are trained and take an oath to perform.
So if an Arizona voter were to conclude from your previous answer that you do not favor any specific week limit on abortion, would they be correct?
I support leaving the decision between a woman and her doctor and leaving politicians entirely out of it.
Don't you see, folks? See, that's the winning. That's why Republicans should embrace the abortion issue. Embrace it. Because Nancy Pelosi and Hobbs in Arizona and Kamala Harris and every Democrat senator in the Senate today who voted on a bill which says abortion on demand, federally funded up till the end of your term, anytime you want it. That is a radical left wing minority view in this country. Only about 30% of the people believe that. No restrictions, federally funded anytime you want it for any reason. That's what she says when you hear it's a woman's body, or you hear it's up to a woman and her doctor. They won't answer the question. They won't put a limit on it. Biden wouldn't put a limit on it through his spokesperson, Karine Jean-Pierre. And that's who they are. That's who they are. And the Republicans should stop running away from the issue and start pointing out that the Democrat Party is. The bulk of the 30% of Americans that favor abortion on demand right up until birth for any reason at all with no restrictions, because that's what they favor. That's what they favor. Period. The end. There's no debate, and they don't deny it. The government should be left out of it. It's between a woman and her doctor. It's her body. You don't have a uterus. That means leave them alone. She could kill the baby anytime she wants for any reason. But the defense is, oh, that doesn't happen. Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad you told me that. Now I could sleep easier. Unbelievable. Well, folks, it's been interesting. I'll say that. Hey, Candace Owens, get a brain, will you? See you tomorrow, folks. Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.